We are pleased and honored, privileged to have a second appearance by our good friend and loyal warrior of the United States Army, Mark Davey. And we are privileged to have him agree to speak to the congregation once again. The last time you came here, Mark, you had us riveted. And so I'm sure that you have prepared a very exciting address for us. It's going to fill us in on all we need to know about whatever it is that you need for us to do. I feel the same way every time I come up here. I've got something to show you. When he got back from the mountains of Afghanistan, he felt he couldn't reorient to America unless he went to the mountains of Georgia. And I'm telling you, it's more dangerous up in North Georgia than it is in Afghanistan. But there's his lovely family. Don't they look nice? Down on the river, you see. Sure do you have pretty lips. Now, there are a couple of stud muffins. They're leaning up. Look at that. A 1989 white Cadillac Sedan DeVille automobile. And Mark won third prize. And there it is, a wide shot. No. See, I think we've got another one here. Ooh. Like you're ready to ride. All right, we want to get you up here and have you speak to the congregation. Let's give a... There are more things. There's music. Oh, you have introductory walking music. When you come up, you know, as the people applaud, there will be special music, Mark. Roll tape, fellows. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Mark Davey.
Come along and ride in my fantastic ride. That thing's awesome. First and foremost, you know, when I came home, coming home is everything, you know, and getting home was nothing but a process in itself. I guess I'll pick up where we left off, and that would be, I'm going to do my best. Kids? So when I get back to, I'm flying back to Afghanistan, and I jump on the aircraft there in Atlanta, and Atlanta takes you all the way to Kuwait, and then from Kuwait you go to Afghanistan. Well, we're on a big C-17. This thing's a beast. It's a monster, and they bolt these old 1970s, still got the ashtray and a cigarette butt in it, like chairs down to the floor, and you're sitting there and you're crunched and you got 300 people on the flight, and what they do is they take the highest ranking enlisted guy and you become the chalk leader. Well, I'm the chalk leader, so what I got to do is I got to corral all these different people from all over the battlefield in Afghanistan. Then we hit Bagram, and from Bagram they go back out to their cops. So, I mean, we're smoked. Everybody's tired. These guys are just, like, you know, knocked out. It's a long flight. And we land, and I wake up, and I'm talking to these Air Force guys. There's four of them, and this is just pretty insane. But they drop the big ramp on this C-17. I'm like, let's get it on. You know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm back. I'm back where I belong. I'm back where I want to be. And I walk up off the ramp, and I'm the first one because I got to coordinate with transportation. And there are no mountains. All the mountains are gone. I'm thinking the Taliban did an awesome job. I should have never left. They got me. But I'm looking, I'm like, dude, where are we? He said, oh, yeah, Top, we're in Manus. That's some whatever a stand. You land in whatever a stand because you miss an entire country. There was bad weather and no one knew. So all these guys are like, ah, and we're in Manus now. I totally missed an entire country. Afghanistan overshot it. Now I'm in Manus. I'm like, good night. What am I going to do here on an Air Force base where the threat is so high? So anyway, eventually I make it back to the cop. While I was gone, got a little loosey-goosey. You know, top was gone. Commander was there, but we kind of overlapped leave. So I had other guys in charge. But no one, the enemy doesn't get a round off. The whole time I'm gone. Not a round. And they say, well, it's the winter months. It's the non-fighting season. It's a war. It's not baseball. It's always in season. Good. Yeah, it's a non-fighting. This year's draft, Saddam Habibi. No, it's a war. So, I prayed. I was so excited to be back there. And I felt I was a little out of shape and I needed to get back out into the fight. So we go out the next day. And I'm sucking wind. I got black smoke coming out of my backside again, going up these mountains. And eventually condition up. And the boys, what I was so, I don't know, you're honored to see the royal family work. And they had maintained Bible study. It's one of those things I'm not in charge of, but whenever you leave, you think, man, this might suffer. Might erode a little bit. They're on point. They knew what it was. They knew the impact. They knew they had to stay vigilant in the Word. And that's incredibly moving. Especially when you start out with the goons that I have. And you're just like, ugh. But they maintained. That's the Holy Spirit. That reminded me, check your ego, dude. Put yourself in check. Make sure you stay in the Word. So, we were good to go. Of course, the cop still has a bunch of crazy people on it. A couple of things. I actually did prepare notes, like, on the way here. So, that's good for me. If anybody knows me, that's good for me. I never have a stream of conscience, and I don't have a flow. And my wife's just sitting there going, I know. I know you're looking at my shirt, and it does have flowers on it, and I am a soldier. But I'll tell you, when I put it on, it was pink. I have so much testosterone in my body that I turned it brown. That's a soldier right there. I'll tell you about the boy. Cenobitis, give you an update. Cenobitis is going to make a full recovery. He's in the warrior training unit at Fort Campbell. I got to see him. He's going to have some pins in his ankle. I think, we all have metal in us eventually. Like that noise you heard when I was walking up there was that metal plate in my head. Every time Jill turns the microwave on, I wet my pants and forget my name for 10 minutes. It's just like... So, we use the conventional oven. So, Cenobitis is good to go. He's charged. And what do all these warriors want? Whenever they get taken out of the fight, what do they want? We talked about it last time. They want to be back in. He just got shot up. And I'll tell you how he got shot up. I don't know what gets out, and I don't know if this got past Pastor Griffin, but oh well, I'm going to repeat myself. Hey, Kitty. So we were talking. We're moving out, and we're going up on a mountain, and if you can picture this incredible piece of terrain, And MET-TC drives everything, mission, enemy, troops, time, terrain, and civilian considerations. We think that all the time. And ACOCA, observation field of fire, cover and concealment, obstacles, key terrain, and avenues of approach. So when you bust the wire, you walk out, this is constantly on your mind. It becomes habitual. And you're always thinking where the enemy is, where you need to be to maximize terrain, to where you can strike first, strike hard. Same thing in the invisible fight. You've got to have that Bible doctrine habitually flowing through your mind. Comes down to the point of volition, a plus R, you're good to go, drive on. Same thing. You've got to walk out on the battlefield and your PCI is complete, your gear's on, pre-combat check, that is. I'm terrible with acronyms. If I miss one and you don't get it, raise your hand because I'm a RDG. I'm a Real dumb guy. So, we move out, and we're moving up this mountain, and we get to a point on the other side, and if you can picture 15 guys patrolling in a file. You have to have interval between you. You've got to have distance, and that's based on terrain, how close you get to each other. And what happened was there was an opening, so a danger area, just as you cross the top. Now, that's when you're most exposed. Just like the invisible conflict, you're most exposed when you're at your peak. I mean, that's when they want to hit you. They want to knock you down. They want to neutralize you. When you're already neutralized, what's the point? So that's when you're most exposed. You're silhouetted, and then you come over the top. Well, he caught us hanging. You know, the enemy caught us hanging over the top. And they got us. They got the drop on us. And they were down terrain, and you're talking 600 meters across the wadi, and all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you're somewhat distracted by exhaustion, where that's a neutralizer. You got to stay in it. Stay focused. So you're breathing hard, so your muscles hurt. Stay focused. You're going to get knocked out. So synovitis is up front, and I'm lagged back, and so if you could see us, you know, just crossing to where we can't see each other, on the other side you just hear, you hear it erupt. Rounds are flying, you know, but now you're not tired anymore. Let me tell you that. Let's do this! So I run up over the top, and the first thing you do is you find cover and concealment, and you develop the situation. You've got to, and this got to go this fast. And Cinnabinus is pinned down with another guy. It's not a very good defensive position at all. That terrain just didn't offer it at that particular piece of it. And I get to the top, and Sergeant Cardwell, who is one of these silent heroes, just a real quiet guy. But when he gets out in the bush where God designed him to be a warrior, he designed us all for his plan, his glory, where that's him, because he gets out there, he's just a beast. He's that guy that gets in the grind. Doesn't say much. He'll never talk about it. But he's a beast. And he was above, if you could imagine, 20 meters. 20 meters on a mountaintop at a down angle. That's incredible. So you have to walk sideways like goats do to get down sometimes. And Cinnabinus is down there. And an RPK is just chewing up this area. So bullets are flying everywhere. Everywhere. When I get up to the top and got down real quick after that. But there goes Sergeant Cardwell. Cinnabinus gets hit. Boom! I'm hit. In a nanosecond, this guy walks on air somehow. You know, it's one of those things in combat. It's where, you know, you're so selfless that no matter what, he's more important. Your battle buddy. And that's how you have to be. You have to be linked in. You got to be tied in like that. They're your brothers. If you think about yourself, we're so selfish, we just get neutralized. So he jumps down, and he's got another guy with him, Watson. And Watson is one of those people, you know those guys that, you can see where I'm going, but you know those guys that you could send after, say, dude, I need 800 rounds of ammunition. And he shows back up with like a shiny button and a magic singing sword. Duh! What? I don't need that. I need 800 rounds of ammunition. He's like, my bad. He's one of those guys. But in this fight, he flies down the hill with Cardwell. You know, so maybe he doesn't have it all here, but he's got it all here. You know, the connection. And he flies down, and they start going to work on this guy. And I'll tell you, this is amazing. They stabilized him. He took a round, exploded on a rock, and he got most of that into his groin. And the other round went through his heel and just shattered it. I mean, it was just hanging there. And Cinnabinus is a tough, tough dude. And he's not crying. My son asked me, he said, Dad, did he cry? Nope. He didn't even cry out. He just said what he was supposed to do. I'm hit. But he wasn't sitting there screaming. Yeah, that has to hurt. I mean, at your groin. When people think about doing that to your groin, you're like, ah. I would cry out, but he doesn't. So they start bandaging him up, and they stop the bleeding up in his groin. And now we've got to get him down the mountain, and we're able, the rest of this patrol is just chewing these guys up. And I mean, we went monkey nuts. I mean, we unloaded everything, and we were able to get indirect out as well. So we're getting behind them with indirect fire, and we've got them pinned with our wall of ammunition, just chewing that AO up. Good luck getting out of there. So we got to get him off the mountain, so we got to go down. We got to find a place to land the bird, and we got to get him down. And we've got... I'm sorry? Oh, you want me to bunt? Oh, okay. Something in the back was just like this. I don't know what that... I guess I need to... Do you get that, too? Man. Thanks, everybody. So, we get him down. And Cinnabinus is in pain, so they hit him up with two hits of morphine. Now, you want to get happy. So, we got him on this stretcher, and he's all morphined up, and he's like, and the 8th I am. And he's like, ah. You can't tell this boy he just got shot. He's like, hey, make sure you guys are real careful with that tourniquet around my jaw, groin area there. So we get him out of there. He's gone. And it took us 18 minutes to get him off the mountain. And it took us 15 minutes to kill six dudes that decided to duke it out with a bunch of Christian warriors. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. You know, I as we started to leave the COP, we're switching out because the COP is so small and we can't occupy that many people, or we can't hold that many people on the COP. We have X number of beds. The combat outpost. I'm gonna get better, Paul. I'm gonna do this, dude. I'm gonna do all my acronyms. I'm gonna say them. No, I'm not. So we're on the combat outpost, and the new guys are coming in, and we're putting just small groups of our guys back on the bird. Now, the HLZ is a helicopter landing zone. The COP is kind of ovaled, and the landing zone is outside of the wall. So in order to go outside the wall, even sometimes on the COP, depending on enemy threat, you got to be geared up. You got to be suited up. You know, it's the full armor of God on the visible battlefield. It's everything you need. And if you're missing one thing, that one thing could mean your life. It could cost you. So take it all. Don't get lazy. Take it all. So, and we walk out on the HLZ, and we get a helicopter about every 4 days, big Chinook, and or Black Hawk, whatever we can get them on. Just get them out of there. Get them out of there. Our turn is over. God said we can go home. Let's get them home. So these young kids get on there, and you just see this energy about them. They're just charged and they're pumped, and we're standing outside the wire waiting for these birds to come in, and they just keep lifting these chalks, these small groups of guys, and dropping off new guys. And the new guys, you can see just the difference. You see the kind of this timidity, and they're soldiers, but it's a new AO. It's a new war for them. It's a new area. So they're a little bit on their heels, where my guys are just like, you know, there's a beast. And eventually the new guys will be beast as well in that area. They'll gain confidence. But where are they really going to gain confidence? My guys gained confidence in the Word of God. My guys understood, hey, look, truth. And you can have a thick notebook. And we talked about this in Bible study one time. You can take all the notes you want, and it doesn't matter. Your notebook and the size of it and what's in it, no impact on you and your Christian walk. It is the application of Bible doctrine. So you've got to put it into action. The faith rest drill, that's a huge thing for these guys. Think about it, you know, where they have to latch onto a promise. They've got to know why they're there. They've got to gain this confidence again, because that's what happens. You sin, you lose this confidence. And, you know, ours is emotional. We, you know, fear and doubt and all these other things kind of infect you. And then rebound, and filling the Holy Spirit, and then you claim that promise. You're full of confidence. That's true confidence. That's not confidence in just your ability, but your ability to execute in the plan of God. So that's where all that goes into. But I was watching these guys fly out, and I'm watching new guys come in. And eventually, I got all the guys off the COP, but four of us. I had to keep a couple guys back, and we had to do a battle handoff. And the commander was with me. I love that guy. He's saved now. He's really, really, he gets it. You know, there is something about like giving already intelligent people the word. They run with it. They sprint with it. And guys like me, I'm like, I know who Jesus is. 1 year later, I'm like, I still know who Jesus is. So, you know, he got into it. He started running with it. And it was really cool the way that he came into the fight and the way he left the fight. Because he had this peace, this calmness about him where worry, you know, it'll infect leadership. Not 1 second of worry has ever changed anything in your life. That's all of us. Worry doesn't do anything. It's detrimental to success, and it's detrimental to progress. Doesn't do anything. So he left worry free. Just cool. But I'll tell you what happened to he and I. So we're doing the old how more. You know, whenever you walk out of the cop for the last time, you're like, man, I'm really leaving. You got this huge rucksack with everything that you've accumulated in a year on your back. And you got your weapon and your goggles and, you know, your ACH, your Army Combat Helmet, and you're standing there. And you're still, I mean, the enemy's still there. They didn't quit. So you're still exposed. And the chopper comes in. And I'm like, I'm getting a little emotional because you can feel all of this, this whole year, kind of, you're separating from it. You're walking away from it. Because God allowed it. And it's your time. You know, I struggled for a little bit thinking, man, I need to stay here. No, I don't. Who am I? Check your ego, dude. You need to go home because God said go home. So we get up there, and here comes the plane or the aircraft, and it lands. It's got these two huge rotors, and it's just spitting the sand up in your face, and you can feel it pelting you, and there's a certain machismo to that. Don't get me wrong. You're sitting there like, yeah. So you walk up, and the crew chief, you know, these guys fly all over the place. And this is our bird, and I look at the commander, and we kind of just grasp each other's hands, and it's kind of like, wow, we did it. But being both saved, you understand how you did it. You didn't do it. God did. You executed in the plan. That's what you did, but that's your personal relationship with God. So we're getting all pumped and emotional, and my eyes started sweating, which is weird. They don't normally sweat. So we go up to the bird. I'm like, this is it, man. And do the old how more. And we put our foot up on the back ramp that comes down like this. And the crew chief comes up to us. And that's the guy that works the inside of the aircraft. And you got to talk because it's so loud. You got to scream at each other. A lot of hugging goes on in HLZ. Don't get confused. You ever see guys in the HLZ and they look like they should read Romans 1? It's just because they can't hear each other. So pull him in, and he says, where are you going? I said, we're going to Salerno. We're out of here, Billy. He goes, not on this bird. We're just dropping off water. We're heading back south. I was like, ah! No! No! So, rehearsal complete, I guess. So we go back, and we're stuck there for 2 more days, and we just, that's all we can talk about. So we're practicing our how more, and we decided that we have to put our foot up on something higher. If you're going to make a command decision in the Army, whatever it is, even in life, get your foot up on something high and point at somebody. That's how you do it. I'm out of here. So we get back, and we come through this big process, and you land, and you hit the United States. Wow. That feeling is an overwhelming feeling and a confidence in Christ in your client nation. You know, the war's not over. The invisible fight is going on. And I'll tell you, the invisible fight is much harder than the visible fight. Because the visible fight, I've got all, and I say distractions, and you guys might have an issue relating with this, but all the distractions are stripped away. Cosmos Diabolicus is gone in all of this, and right in front of you in an enemy. You know, that's what you can see. And then you come home, and all these distractions start hitting you, and your clarity starts to go away. So this is the fight. This is the hard fight. Not that one. Trust me. I wish I could take the whole GDC prayer battalion, all the Doritos and all these prayer warriors, and drop you off out at Zarat Cop for a week. You'd be like, whew, this is awesome. It's a vacation. So what happens, and when you get home, but you're overwhelmed with the safety, the blessings of a client nation, all those things that are wonderful and great a client nation offers you. And I know we're a little distracted right now, not as Christians, but as a nation. We're losing it, you know. So be ready for whatever happens. Be prudent, I guess. But you get off and you try and find a spot where you can do this and not make a big show about it. I do. I get off and I kiss the ground. That's my thing. And I really kiss it because I love what God allows in it. I love the freedom to sit here today and talk to you. I love the protection that my family has where I don't worry about them all the time. And it's overwhelming. So I kiss this great nation. I'll give it my life in a second. So home. Home is a great place. And I get back home, and I better take a break here on the emotional stuff because I'm sweating again. Can someone turn down the air? I'll tell you, and I get back to Fort Campbell, and you're still charged. This feeling is huge, and it lasts for a long time, and it reminds you of how diligent you have to be in your Christian walk, how diligent you have to be in executing and applying the Word. You know, you can know the Word without application. You got to be hard charging, or we're going to lose it. The pivot, gone. So I'll tell you this, true story. I get home and I'm still full of this feeling, and I want fried chicken. Man, there is nothing more American than fried chicken. It is good stuff. And we got a Zaxby's down there. Now, angels work behind the counter because this chicken is made by angels. It's just like, it's that good. I mean, this chicken is heavenly. So I'm driving down 41A by Fort Campbell, and I'm like, man, I'm going to go get some chicken. And I see this huge flag blowing over the highway. So you think, oh, you know, I'm driving, first of all, pay attention. And I see this flag, and I'm starting to move again. And I see the chicken joint underneath the flag. Come on. Come on. Somebody's messing with me. So I'm just so grateful to come home and eat a piece of chicken. And I turn into the parking lot, and there was this old farmer coming out in his truck. And he's got his John Deere hat on, his 1970 whatever truck. You know, I'm like, That's you know, then you think work ethic. You think all those beautiful things about our country, how we farm a land that God gave us, how it bears fruit, physical fruit, how it, you know. And he was in where I had to turn next, and I waved at him, and I kind of moved him on like this. Next thing he did was flip me the bird. You're home, brother. And if I were the only blind guy driving that day, he told me what it meant. So I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, I just got back. Come on. So after I used his truck door to rearrange his thought process, no, I did not beat that old man up. I just thought that was hilarious. I sat there and I had to laugh. Because it's all people testing, you're going to be tested all the time. Why get distracted with where he is with Christ? Where are you, you know? But man, how awesome is that? Man. I don't want to go long. I know that you're going to have fluid coming out of your ears. I know this. By the time I'm done, I say, oh, I don't want to talk that much. And then I sit up here, I'm like, one time when I was 8. What is the relevance of that? So I get home, and they do this 7-day reintegration period, this decompression time, this time where you gotta relax a little bit. And they do it because they have to do it. Because not everyone has the Holy Spirit. Because not everyone has a doctor. Not everyone has a frame of reference to deal with it. But when you go through it as a Christian, you just think, man, what in the world is this cat talking about? Yeah. And I had to go, and you move his cattle through this whole process 7 days. You know, 7 days of a chaplain, 15 minutes. This guy gets 15 minutes to talk to you. It's a chaplain, this old kind of... You know, it's like, wow, that guy was serving Christ in World War I. I mean, it's just like this old dude, you know. And he walks in, and you think, this is cool. This guy gets a 15-minute window to talk to 400 people at the same time. The chaplain. What do they expect? What do I expect? I shouldn't have any expectation on this guy, I'll tell you that. Because he's like, suicide is evil. If you think you're going to kill yourself, call this number. 15 minutes. I think, man, dude, couldn't you help him? Couldn't you give him something besides a phone number? You know what Bible doctrine is. You know the word of Christ. You know how the mind works. And you got all these guys out there. We have 8 suicides since January at Fort Campbell. 8 young warriors coming back and taking their own life because something greater than combat has got them so spun up within themselves that they selfishly take their own life. Come on, we got to get better at that. We got to take care of our soldiers. We got to get better at that. So the next station was, I confessed, I'll tell you this anyway. This next station, you got to go in and you get a mental eval. So I got to go in there and it's these cubicles and you go in with this guy and he's going to see how you're doing. So I walk in and the first thing I see, you know, Christ will not put on your shoulders more than you can bear. This is a 22-year-old kid with peach fuzz. And you know, he just graduated from whatever university and I'm like, sweet. This is going to be awesome. So I sit down, and I'm not kidding. I stare at him like this. And he said, so, how you feeling today? I feel a little cold. How do you feel? And I'm not kidding. I had to muster some drool to come out of the And he's sitting there, and he's trying to do his best. He's got his little clipboard, the flow chart of what to do. And he's sitting there, and he's going through this checklist of what he needs to ask me in order to... I can't take it anymore. So he says, do you have any issues since you've been home? I said, I don't sleep so good, and I wet my pants. He said, are you serious? I said, finally, the dude, I had to let him off the hook because he started shaking. He's like, I don't know what to do. So I said, no, man, I'm just kidding you. I said, I'm saved. I deal with it through that. You know, I said, I got God. I got Christ. I'm okay. And he goes, that was horrible. Get used to it, dude. So, I had my fun there. Man. What else? I come home, and I'm walking through this. And I'm walking with my guys and my men. I'm actually marching them up to a formation that we're going to have a safety brief. And I stand in front of the men and... The colonel is going to give us a safety brief before we're all released. And we've got like 15 minutes. We've got to stand there. Hurry up and wait, right? So I'm standing there, and I look back, and even my wounded are there. Everyone in my company that I left with, that I served with and fought with, is standing right there. They had seen hell itself, but they knew the wall of fire was around them. And if you don't, by that point, you look back and you see them all back in this great nation, standing on their own 2 feet. Cenobitis had a cane. And you don't realize it's the wall of fire, and you don't realize that we are a warrior nation, that we serve something much more than just the flag, but a God. Somebody asked me, What do you think about it? What do you think we're doing over there? You know, I kind of gave you a bubblegum answer last time, but I can't PC this anymore. I'll tell you what I think we're doing over there. I think that we are a warrior nation, and in order to maintain that status, we need to engage the enemy. When we deployed to OIF-1, we didn't know how to fight in the city. Our skill set, as best we could train it, it wasn't the edge that you need. You sharpen your sword. So for whatever reason, God allows us to go over here and kill Muslims. Cool. It's really cool. Sorry, Jill. Once we get done, we come back. Guess what? These guys get out of the military and they understand it. They understand there's a certain focus that comes. So they bleed back into our society that's deteriorating at a rapid rate. You know, I come back and it's like, oh, the country's upside down. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Duh. God never promised us a nation. He didn't. He allowed it. But it doesn't mean that you get to live here in these borders without any type of pain and do whatever you want. It doesn't mean that. He can drop those borders. He can snatch that client nation label and you will be a nomadic people. You know, not to strike fear, but you know that assumption, that real arrogance that gets me with people like, well, I don't even know why over there our country's fine. Holy cow. Get in it. Understand how to interpret things through the word and you'll see where we are. Sorry, that was a here kitty moment. I came home. So after the 7 days, I get home and I see my family. My wife, my daughter, is battling in a public school system. She had private school for 9 years of her life, and we put her out there. That's just where we were. And she has a frame of reference, Bible doctrine, she functions on. So when she talks to me, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, public school, she sees through it all. That's people testing. You know, Dad, that's people testing. It's okay. You know, I'm not worried about it. I didn't think anything else of it. It was this event that occurred and went down. I'm just so proud of her for executing in her Christian walk. And my wife, who was... she holds together a household by herself for a year. Stronger than the warrior is the warrior's wife. She leans forward in a foxhole that I don't understand. I don't do a budget. I don't do my finances. My wife does. That's my job. She took that. She cared for my kids. She does all these things. 10 trips in a day for these kids, going everywhere, putting them to bed, getting them up, dressed, studying with them, loving me, never forgetting me. Wow, that's pretty cool. We do have a new pool boy. That's weird. No pool. Girl, I love you more than NASCAR. She is a warrior. So, there I'm back home. And the only things that I'm dealing with now is I can't sleep only because my clock hasn't flipped. Not I can't sleep like, they're coming to get me. Bring it. But, you know, I mosey out so I don't keep Jill awake tossing and turning. I mosey out to the living room and I hit the button, turn on the TV. This is a good idea. You know, in the middle of the night, you turn the TV on. I'm telling you, there's some scary stuff on that thing. Don't stray from ESPN. Don't do it. I went down and I was rolling down. You know, they got the list of programs. And I see Animal Cops on there. I was telling Paul, there's Animal Cops. I was like, that's cool. Look at all the cool stuff that's happened since I've been gone. I think I'm going to switch to that channel and see a cat and a monkey with a badge and a sidearm, you know. I'm like, yeah. Just see them taking dudes down. Rat, just like a bunch of rats in a Volkswagen driving up. You can't get me, man. Totally doesn't happen. I turn it on. It's like people are like, he hit his dog. So, and I'm like, why am I watching this? So? So I go back and I find out Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, has been deported. Do you know how big of a blow that is? I guess one of the dogs just kind of elevated their voice, didn't get the whisper part down, and they're like, you know, he's not a U.S. citizen. So, just insanity. And we look at our country, and don't be distracted by it. It's cosmos diabolicus. No, like Pastor Griffin was saying, you better know what your job is in it. You know, function on your walk. Just your walk. Assume nothing. Expect nothing. Except what the Bible promises you. That's what you'll get. Why am I up here pastor teaching? But I see it's going to go south, Paul. But, you know, I think when 9/11 occurred, it silenced everybody's personal agenda so much you could hear a mouse whiz banging on cotton, you know, or peeing on cotton. Can I say whiz bang? Okay. But you could hear that because people shut up and they pray. Well, you know, they prayed. They oriented for that small window, and we went to war. And our president then said, dude, you're going to get smoked. I'm motivated now. And he throws the legions out there. And then we're back into this comfort zone, you know, where we get distracted with all these personal agendas. Like, man, dude, come on, let's focus. So I love you. I'm going to go on a rant, I can tell. So I'll tell you that I love you all. I thank you all. You know, people drive here from Indianapolis. They're out there on the internet, and they're praying, and we're focused, and my guys are there. So I thank you again for executing in His plan with a prayer, a simple prayer, which means everything. They're all home. What is that? Like, chance. That's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who stood next to us, who was on point, who fought with us every day. So, thank you all very much. And I love you. And I know this church loves me. Holy cow. Fly ride right there. The only thing is, like, if I stop at corners, strange women walk up and try and give me money. I don't know. I'm not your boss. It's all right. So, I'll do a Q&A again. Those tend to go well. So, if that's okay, Pastor Griffin.
Carry on.
Cool. Wilco. Yes, sir.
Hey, when are the guys coming in?
The guys will be here in June. Before, the company's going to split up by July. So, I'm going to lose 50% of my people. I'm going to get... maybe 60%. I'm going to get new guys come in, and then we ramp back up for a tour in Iraq in 10 months or 12 months. Not sure with this new guy in office. Oh, man. I wish you would at least give me, like, soap and some change, you know, instead of this hope and change. I'm not getting it, you know. At least I'd have something tangible, you know. Here's your soap and here's your change. Vote for Obama. But he gave me a bar of soap. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with this cat. But anyway, they'll be here in June. I'm sorry. There I go again. Don't get me started on nothing. I like following that guy because he walks in circles. He's just like, where are we going? Yes, sir.
Any chance souls guys just of their own accord or wandering here one day?
Oh, absolutely. Now, over the next 30, 45 days, they won't, I mean, they're with their family, they're doing their thing, they're reuniting with those that are important, but absolutely, because I'll come home probably every weekend as I can, and if these guys want to tag along, because we're going to continue Bible study there, we can't let can't get distracted, we're still on the battlefield, we're still fighting, so, yeah, I'm sure that I'll bring one in, or they might wander in themselves, hoping it ain't Spriggs. You know, I always got to tell you, as soon as I say his name, I just see this big dope in front of me. But I got to a point at the end, you know, I was starting, and Mark, you know how this is. You know, you have to stay on the little things. And I started seeing complacency at the table. So you tag that by making the on-the-spot correction, and you put what we call a light coat on the guy. You put a light coat on the guy, you take him out, and you work him out for a while. You make him do push-ups, sit-ups, and throw-ups until he's got sweat on his body, and that's a light coat. So I was just smoking all these guys, and we call it a smoke session. And Spriggs, you know, I found out when I got home, you know, he's like, you know, Tom, whenever at the end you were kind of all over us, and I was like, yeah, he goes, it really didn't bother me. Well, that's good. I don't want it to bother you. I want to see the infraction. I want to correct the deficiency, and I want you to refocus and drive on. I don't care. You know, that's like my thing, forever forward, forever forward. Keep moving in a Christian walk. There's your forward right there, forever that way. Don't look back. Don't look back. Even be it a sin you just confessed, don't look back. It's done. It's over. East, west, done. This is important. Drive on. So Spriggs says, well, you know what I did every time you made a correction to me? I was like, what, Spriggs, what? He says, well, I would just hear something positive. I'm like, what? He goes, I would think, well, yes, First Sergeant, I did get a haircut. Thank you for noticing. I'm like, what? He's like, oh, I did lose 5 pounds. Oh, I think I look good, too. I was just like, I want to choke you. He's a mess. He's funny. He's a funny guy. I'm sorry. There I go again. Yes, sir.
I understand you have another deployment to Iraq.
Yes, sir.
How many of your soldiers will go back with you,
if any? I'll have about 40%. So I'll be somewhere in the ballpark of 30, 40 guys. Is that 40%, Paul? I got 120. God. 120 divided by 40 is jello. Right? Right. I was right. So about 40% of the guys. Then I'll get those new guys. We'll keep the main thing. The main thing is we continue to focus there. You know how that's going to go. So they have somewhere to start now where the bullets aren't flying. Yes, sir.
Where in Iraq am
I? It'll be Baghdad. No, honestly, with this new commander-in-chief, I don't know if I'm going to Iraq. I'm going to Afghanistan. I don't know why I'm not going to Somalia. That gets me. I saw Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry, but I got to share this. Hillary Clinton said, you know, we've got, isn't that amazing? All you had to be so moved when our boys jump in the ocean, they fly out there, they snipe these dudes and police up the U.S. citizen. Because that gives you confidence in your military. You, the citizen, who they protect, who they will give their life for, they execute, and they're awesome. That's exciting. So, but what gets me is Hillary Clinton's like, well, we've got to do something to empower the commercial vessel to defend itself. You know, I am in the Army, but I think that we got a Navy. I'm just like, why don't you just unleash the Navy? You know what I would do? I would unleash the Navy, I would decimate Somalia, and then I'd put a sign up that said, previous place of Somalia, the country. I would. And underneath that, where it said Somalia the country, future place of Somalia the country club. And have 36 holes of golf right there. And be like, come on, boys.
Did Mark think that
what
Thomas Jefferson did in the shores of Tripoli 200 years ago?
Yeah.
We forgot that that's what we have to do in Somalia.
Yeah. Let's stop. Oh, my gosh. It's a Navy that shoots Volkswagens out of guns. That's pretty cool. Put me in that Volkswagen and just shoot me in. I'm like, woo! Just make it go down. Man, these guys threaten us. 1,200 dudes. 1,200 dudes threaten your country. They said, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to kidnap some more. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to nuke you. How about that? You better find new friends if you're one of those 1,200 people. I'll tell you what, they're going down. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Baghdad, Iraq. I did it. I brought it back in. Anything else? All right. Well, again, I love you. I salute you, GDC Battalion, Mighty Prayer Warriors, and all those like you that allowed the Wall of Fire to maintain itself around Easy Company 2506 Infantry. I salute you. Seventh ACR National Training Center Holy Bible.
Got both Testaments?
It's got it all right there.
No Quran in there?
No, I had to put that one down.
Well, first of all, before I thank you, we do want to salute the people who are most important in this whole operation. And we would like to give a round of applause to Jill. She's in there somewhere. Now, Jill was on the home front, but Jill was fighting the battle with you. And you pointed that out, didn't you?
Shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, she was a trooper. And Sweet Taylor sitting right there. See, the thing that interests me about the military family's children is that they have to function without a father for X periods of time while you're on various deployments. And they have to keep their thing together, yet they're children. And from your report from the pulpit, she has been a front ranker. Is that correct?
Totally.
Thank you, Taylor. You fought the war too. What can we say about Jacob?
Jacob is, he's my hero. I was putting him down the other night, and this is a son for you, you know?
Right there behind the glass.
I was putting him down the other night, and we just got done praying, and you know, he kind of stroked my arm, and you could just feel it, that love. And he goes, "Dad, you're not leaving again, are you?" I said, "I might have to." He goes, "Well, you're a soldier. I'll take care of these girls."
Good for you, buddy. Good for you, buddy. Now that is the mental attitude that people who serve this client nation possess. It's not just the soldier who goes on these various deployments. It is the family unit that has to hold together, and that starts with a great wife and then honorable children. The reason I blew off steam at the beginning of the first session is this reason. There are about 120 people in this church. I am embarrassed for them that they were not here today within driving distance of this church with no one shooting at them. And I'm sending a message to each and every one of them who's listening over the internet right now. Don't do this again. Now, Mark, we've got some presents for you. You like presents?
I do.
Well, first of all, wow! What do you think of that?
That's bad.
Yeah. That will get you back and forth from Fort Campbell.
Absolutely.
To Sweet Jillville.
Every weekend.
Yeah, every weekend. Now, we have in our congregation a fellow that takes care of the money. Do you have a guy like that in Army?
You would think we did, but...
Didn't have one. Well, we have one here, and he is very meticulous about keeping up with the numbers. And so we announced that we wanted to get up $2,000 so that you could buy that car you mentioned.
Yes, sir.
Well, it turned out that there was someone in the congregation who just happened to have a car that didn't need. And that's it. And so that's yours.
Thank you.
But we still can't carry forward gathering money up. They just keep on bringing the money until Mark gets back home. And do you know what?
No, sir.
They did. And so Danny's the one that kept up with it. Now, I don't know. Usually he sort of siphons off a little for the community, coastal community. But so whatever you get, you know it's just been a little bit chopped off the top. But he is here to make that presentation. Danny, Tim Geithner Hunt, come up here and bring the money.
Pastor Griffin put out a call for help, and the members of Grace Doctrine Church and the Doritos responded. And in addition to your car, we would like to present you with a check for almost $6,500.
Thanks.
We can't even begin to come up with the words to thank you and your family for your service and sacrifice to us and our country. Welcome home, soldier, and we love you.
Thank you very much.
And that's not all.
Okay, you get hit in the head, you got to receive grace, because grace is from God. But when you get hit in the head with a grace hammer, you get staggered up a little bit.
Well, I can tell you that came from all over the country. There was, of course, obviously donations from the members of Grace Doctrine Church, but people over the internet out in every, almost every state gets us now. And money came in from Doritos who have only heard your voice. They don't know you, but they love you, and they were part of a prayer network that was actually international. They prayed for you and your men the entire time you were in Afghanistan. They enjoyed your emails that I distributed through the media ministry subscription list. And there were states all over the country that formed prayer groups to pray for you and your men while you were in Afghanistan. Prayer works. Every man came back standing.
Oh.
Now, Mark, I want to show you something here. You see this nice car here?
Yes, sir.
And you see these accessories here?
Which have been added to, by the way.
Well, you know, you need to get up to speed. But the thing is that we look at these accessories here, and when we know the car, we've looked at it, and it has power this and power that. But there's one other accessory that we think that is imperative for a man of your stature to have in order to legitimately drive such a fine limousine as this.
And what,
would you accept that accessory?
I would,
well,
sir.
Well, I've got it right down here. See if I can get it out of here.
I'm sure
it's an authentic, legitimate, authorized driving
hand. Oh!
In that, Mark.
I think, you know, I believe the Lord is calling me to a new occupation.
Make friends with those ladies at the stoplight.
I will. I'll do a little recruitment program.
Well, we're not done yet. There's still one more thing.
Well, I don't want to take this off, but I just...
Oh,
don't...
please, please leave it on.
I'm rolling at the pulpit. What up now, Jesus?
I hate like a feather.
Oh, my goodness.
It's outstanding. No side point. Straight up.
You know...
Okay, here we go. We got to move to the next segment, and the next segment is out in the yard. And I don't even know if it's raining. It doesn't appear to be. We delayed this. We're going to do this earlier.
Yes, sir.
But we had to delay because of the weather.
Okay.
You don't mind being rained on a bit?
You know what?
You've been through that?
Water only makes you tougher.
Is that right?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's what's going to happen. The door's about to open over here. We're going to have a luncheon for everybody. All of that's being prepared to my right. Before we do that, I want the entire congregation to funnel out the front door. If it's raining, you can stand under the carport. And we're going to have a flag-lowering ceremony. We'll bring down the Army flag. Will you help us do that? All you got to do is watch. We got three Army guys. I think Wellen Schott's an Army guy. Dan Hunt's an Army guy. And Martin Vesser...
Matt Lawson.
Oh, and Matt Lawson's going to do it. Are you an Army guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a battalion here, buddy.
Let's just capture right. This. Let's get busy and hit somebody.
All right.
Air Force, sorry.
It works.
Will you take an Air Force one?
You know what? Everyone that's ever served adds to the threat of the uniform that I wear. There's no boundaries or borders between services anymore.
Now, so, that is politically correct. You can tell that old boy, that 23-year-old, pretty much brainwashed you.
Yeah, he got me.
Never heard of a man speak of the Air Force that way.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
Well, here's what we got to do. We're dismissed right now, and we go out into the front yard, and we're going to lower the Army flag.
Cool.
You good for that?
Yes, sir.
Forward march.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, what we're doing here is, come up here, buddy. When you went off to Afghanistan, we raised the Army flag here on our pole, and our intent was to leave it in the wind until you got back. And when you get back, we're going to lower it down. So today we're going to have our Army guys go over. They're going to lower the Army flag. They'll fold it for you. We have one of those little triangular deals that you put a flag in. Now, you might have to put this thing through the washing machine and the dryer.
It's battle-tested. You never wash them.
You don't?
It's battle-tested. You want it to have some flavor to it.
This got plenty of flavor. It's been there for about 6-8 months.
I'll tell you what.
So we're going to bring it down. So we don't have music for this. Just watch as our Army guys bring the flag down. You can sing Camp Town Races while you do it.
The Camp Town Races.
You know, I was 28 months at Fort Campbell.
Were you?
I've only been almost a month. I haven't even spread my wings there. I don't know anything.
This is one of the greatest catfish places in the world. If you go into Clarksville across the Tennessee River, as soon as you go across the river, there's this, I forget the name of it, there's this catfish place. Family owned rocks.
I'll have to go check it out. Oh, there's our. That's us.
Okay. These guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, fine.
Our men, Mark Besser and Wellen Schott, with assistance from Tom Woodjahusky, are properly folding the flag, aren't they, Mark?
They positively are. You know, that flag represents more than just a church thinking about a man, but a church thinking about an entire company, an entire nation of warriors. And I'll be honored to take care of it for the church. And whenever it's time to raise it again, we certainly will.
Yes, sir. Well, maybe when you go back to Iraq, you'll let us know, and we'll put her back in the wind.
That'll work. Thanks, John.
Yes, sir, buddy. Now, we have a... Gary, where's the little container?
It's in the car.
It's in the car.
Right,
it's wet, but you've got a flag case for you. Okay, we've got a flag case for this flag, but it does need to dry out. The guys are folding it. They practiced for one time around. Apparently, it's been a good while since they folded a flag. And this is... So, sort of an OJT thing here.
Like a chicken caught.
This is what four Army guys are trying to fold an Army flag. What do you think of that?
It's like, I don't know, looks like it's throwing a Rubik's Cube in a monkey cage right now.
Well, they're getting it done.
They're professionals because they're not accepting anything less than the standard. That's a good thing.
Now, Mark seems to be the leader of that group. What do you think?
I'm getting that. I really am getting that.
The other guys seem to be just holding and pointing. Have you noticed that?
I don't think Weldon's doing much at all.
Weldon's holding the other end. That's what he's doing. He's an end holder.
He does love
it. Now it looks like they've done it. Look at this, Mark.
I'm sorry that I'm giving you a flag and a triangle as a pathologist. I'd be sorry, except I think it's kind of funny. But thanks again, Mark, for all that you've done. And we folded it twice because we're trying to figure out a way to make the color show, and there's not a way on the Army flag.
No, it's all white.
Yeah,
that's folded absolutely correctly.
Thanks again, man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
all right. you.
Mark, congratulations, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, y'all.
Ready, Gary?
Now, next on the agenda, we have a man in Iraq. Michael Weber is serving presently in the United States Navy, and now the Navy flag goes up, and it will not come down until Mark returns home. There is Jill. What we're going to do now is go inside and have our lunch, and I'm going to escort Jill and Taylor and Jacob and Mark in to be first in line. Then everyone else may follow, and we'll have a good time eating. Thanks for being at the flag raising.
All right, Joe. Good job.
Let's go eat.
Thanks, Steve.